When Tanglewood goes on parade, as it will this coming Tuesday, it takes many conductors to make it all happen.
That's right, and this morning we'll meet one of the five conductors who will be performing in the shed. Ken David Masur is the assistant conductor of the BSO, as well as being the associate conductor of the San Diego Symphony and principal guest conductor of the Munich Symphony.
Ken David studied conducting mainly with his father, the great Kurt Masur, and was a conducting fellow at Tanglewood in July 2012 when he made an auspicious BSO debut, sharing conducting duties on an all-Mozart program with his father, who was recovering from an injury. His father passed away in December. Ken David Masur is an alum of the Boston University Tanglewood Institute, which is celebrating its 50th year. They'll be having a 50th anniversary concert on the 6th of October, which Ken David will be conducting, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Ken David Masur to the roundtable. Good morning.
Good morning. Mike. Very quickly, I just wanted to say that it's 6th of August, which means in a week, actually, we're having the 50th.
A week to
50th.
Go. Yeah, August 6th.
Yeah. Just for people who are around, you know, just for them to know. They don't have to wait until October.
Did I say October?
Mm-hmm.
Because it says August, so...
That's okay. It's early.
It's no your fault.
Yeah. Anyway, right. It's totally my fault. So, welcome. It's very nice to have you
here.
Thank you.
Here.
Thank you very much.
So, can I ask one question?
Of course.
Because I've always wondered about assistant conductors.
Yeah.
There is that magical moment when Leonard Bernstein is called on at the last minute to pick up the baton because his predecessor is sick and. Nobody wants to wish ill to anybody else, but in the back of your mind, do you ever think, ooh, you know, I could take over?
Oh, no, never. No, I have not had that kind of a thought. I think it's a fun story.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess I don't know if anybody's ever actually tried that and been that manipulative or put something into a drink.
I think there was a Columbo episode.
It always comes down to Columbo.
No. I think my job as assistant and you know, has been to make everybody feel you know that they can do their job as well as possible. And if something unfortunate happens where you do have to jump in, then you got to be ready and got to, you know, because you prepare the music ahead of time and want to make it your own anyway. And in this occasion, especially when it happened here again.
So 2 weeks ago,
yes.
The conductor is ready for the program, is taken ill, and they call in. Well, you had a day and a half?
Called in, I think, the same day of the first rehearsal, actually.
Yeah.
I found out that morning,
But you're ready to go.
Yes, I mean as ready as you can be. I mean you always have to muster up, you know, the moment and get up there on the podium and make sure that you have your ideas ready. Because I told Maestro, I said, you know, I would have loved to see what you wanted to do with the piece. You know, so you're always also in this mode of wanting to learn from your colleagues and from your peers and from the great masters such as. Christoph von Dohnányi, but then you're on and you'll make it your own. And especially with my great colleagues here at the Boston Symphony, I always look forward to any opportunity that I get to conduct with them, announced or unannounced.
I have a wacky question for you, which is not unusual. I noticed an old friend of ours putting the music out on the stands, John Perkel, who is the librarian. How important is the librarian?
Oh, extremely important. I mean, they're the ones that have to prepare the music, of course, get the bowings in, mark it up. I mean, they spend so much time preparing the music and communicating or wanting to communicate with the conductor about making sure that the music is prepared in such a way that you don't waste time, you know, during the rehearsal, that everything is indicated as the conductor would want, and so it's also the conductor. I mean, you know, for me, it's my responsibility to communicate as much as possible of details that may veer from your regularities, you know, or your traditional things that you would want to do in a piece, and then the librarian translates that into the sheet music so that the musicians can communicate that, you know, into their instrument. And so that's it's a extremely important.
But if the Boeing you mentioned, mm-hmm. I take it means you go up rather than down, something like that?
Things like that. I mean, of course, it's prepared in many cases or most of the time by the principals and, of course, the concertmaster looking at it and the sound and also tradition. And if you look at a new piece of something that may not have been done by the orchestra, you know, commissions, which the Boston Symphony does a lot, then you have to go through it, and they have to decide what could work best musically. And then sometimes during rehearsal, you might ask for something that you want musically, where another Boeing might be decided on the spot. And then, of course, I turn to the concertmaster, you know, either Malcolm Lowe or any of the others that might be leading that concert, and ask, well, what do you suggest, and what do you think? And of course, they're the masters of their instrument, and they usually come up with a great idea.
When you're conducting, do you ever notice the shoes on the violinist? I'm sitting there in the audience, and some have 6-inch heels, and some have, you know, flats.
That was the trick question you asked earlier.
The shoes.
Yeah, the shoes. You know, I'm down there in that first, second row, whatever, mm-hmm. looking up, mm-hmm. and I see these difference in the shoes. They're fascinating.
Of course, eye level. You're at eye level. What's the first thing you see?
Yes, it's a shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not looking.
Never occurred to you.
No, but now, probably from now on, now that you mentioned it, I'll probably look down and, you know.
So in December of this of last year, the world lost one of its great conductors and its great musicians, and you lost your dad, 88 years old, and not only your dad but your mentor. And I would assume that you are going through what all of us go through when we lose a parent, that grieving process, which takes a very long time. And also that when you go to a place like this that was so formulative for you, that pretty much everything that you do for the first time without that person becomes emotional. And I assume it's the same case.
Yes, it. You know, I have to tell you that the way in which we could spend time at the end of his life, I realize is something very special, and that not everybody gets to do with their parent. You know, knowing that you have an illness that may end your life at some point. I mean, we all, of course, have to do it, but where you have time to say goodbye in many ways, or time to spend and realize while somebody's still alive that this time is precious. You know, we don't always get the opportunity to realize that. And I'm super grateful that I was able to have that time with him. And every time we met, you know, in the last few years of his life, to get together as a family and to talk of music and special moments, and for me to make a list of questions that I would want to ask my father before he passes. But of course, since then that list has continued.
I wish, you know, that's what we all go through.
But I'm more grateful than of course sad that I had that opportunity. And what has been absolutely incredible for me is this being part of the family of the Boston Symphony that he was part of since the 80s, and for me to have come with him to Tanglewood since the early 80s when I was a little boy, and then many people offering their stories of, you know, of him being here, and of course of us being here. It's a wonderful thing, and that continues, and I felt so supported to go through this. And I think as everybody who is part of Tanglewood and the Boston Symphony has felt, because there's such support, camaraderie, that we just felt carried as a family, and I am very, very happy to have been part of the Boston Symphony while my father passed away, because this was a special time now here to actually step in and do several concerts for Christoph von Dohnányi with programs that my father conducted very often as well. Right. And you know, Dohnányi and my father knew each other well, They actually met a couple times in the last couple of years. So there was this connection there, and I felt extremely comfortable doing these programs and very much lifted up by the whole experience. So yes, of course, I lost my father, but I am so much more grateful for all the things that he's done. I'm very thankful for how he was taken, you know, very peaceful, and also that we had these very special moments.
That's lovely. And do you think of, as you go on, of learning of how you want your career to be, to emulate that, to continue a legacy, if you will?
Well, for me right now, this is a great time. I feel that I'm getting wonderful opportunities to make great music with not just the Boston Symphony, but with great orchestras. My father, you know, he taught me early on that when he started out early after the war, becoming music director in the 20s and so forth, that he treated every job as if it was his last, because of course he was faced early on with death, you know, and in the war and serving there, and right. For him it wasn't sure always, you know, how long you would live, and you know, it can happen so quickly that you're not here. And so that was probably one of the great things for me, that he said, you know you don't think of career. I didn't think of career, and you don't think of, of course, there are wishes, and you make a wish list, for instance, of pieces, you know, that maybe you would love to conduct in your lifetime, and things that you may not be so good for, or that you don't feel strongly about. But to have an opportunity to do any of that should be a blessing, and you should count as something that you don't take for granted. And so I feel right now I'm in a really great place where I get to perform with these great musicians and colleagues, and so I'm thankful for that alone.
Ken David Masur will conduct on Tuesday at Tanglewood on Parade. He'll also be conducting the 50th anniversary concert for the Boston University's Tanglewood Institute. It is on August 6th, not October, August 6th at 2:30 p.m. in Ozawa Hall. And for more information, you can go to tanglewood.org. Ken David Masur, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for
Thank
being
you
with
so
us
much.
This morning. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.